Welcome back to the Aware Show. So I'm really looking forward to this next half an hour on the show, because we really all kind of need this reminder. And if you don't, then good on you. But right now, I needed this reminder, and especially in today's times and the financial information going on out there. And, you know, it's just important to remember gratitude. We hear this a lot, but today what we're going to be talking about is specific techniques and practices of how to build gratitude into your day, how to kind of not schedule it, but to set up real reminders in case you get off track or in case something out there throws you into that negative thinking. My guest today is MJ Ryan. She says gratitude helps us notice what's right instead of what's wrong. Now, other media outlets are going to pretty much tell you what's wrong and then have this little teeny-weeny story at the end of their broadcast that says, oh, and then here's this fluffy dog and everybody was, you know, happy at the end. But the way to have this work for you in your life, you know, the whole like attracts like concept, right? You attract what you think about. Then this is a great place to start anything that you're doing. So welcome to the show, MJ Ryan. Thanks for joining me.
I'm happy to be with you, Lisa.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So I like how you in your book talk about, and the name of the book is called Attitudes of Gratitude. It's the 10th anniversary edition. Very pretty. What are some of the new sciences that kind of validate that gratitude creates happiness?
Yes.
It's funny, but it's good.
Yeah. So what's funny is that I wrote this book originally 10 years ago, and I observed myself and other people, and that's what I came up with, all the conclusions that I came up with and the techniques. And then in the last 10 years, there's been an explosion of research out of the positive psychology movement.
Yes.
Also out of brain science that actually confirms a lot about what spiritual teachers and what I've been saying about thankfulness, and also what I observed. And one of them is that gratitude actually keeps us healthier. The bottom line is this. When we practice thankfulness, we live an average of 7 to 9 years longer than people who don't.
Really?
Yep, and that's a bigger effect than not smoking and exercising.
Oh, my goodness. So,
yes.
All right, and then thankfulness not only includes what you're thankful for in your life, and we'll talk a lot about that, but it's also just the art of saying thank you.
Absolutely. But when we do say thank you, then we're reminded that we've been given something.
Mm.
Part of what the practice of gratitude is recognizing that that we have wonderful things in our life and that they are gifts. So when we say thank you, then we're registering in our consciousness that we've been given something.
I noticed that you have that your expertise is in positive psychology. What exactly is that? Is that a specific field?
Yes, it actually is. It's a field that was started about 10 years ago by Martin Seligman. And and what they were, is that he was the head of the American Psychological Association at the time. And he said, you know, we psychologists spend all our time trying to get people from awful, terrible, messed up to okay. And instead, why don't we focus on what happy people are doing and what people who are okay are doing, and then teach people how to do that instead. So instead of focusing on the illnesses, let's focus on people who are healthy and happy and find out what they do differently. It started a whole movement.
So you really don't have to necessarily go to a therapist when you have things that are wrong in your life. You can go to a therapist when things are mediocre in your life to make your life great.
Yes, absolutely.
A positive therapist.
Especially those who have been trained in positive psychology. Also, there are a bunch of coaches now who are also adopting these understandings. And one of the fascinating things is that they've done a whole bunch of research, and one of the very best things for creating happiness is gratitude. And that Seligman himself did an exercise that he calls the three blessings, which is that asking yourself at the end of the day, what three good things happened to me today, and what was my part in it? So he did an experiment where people rated themselves on depression before they did this. They did this practice for 2 weeks, and then they rated themselves again. And 98% of people were happier, even those who they were seriously depressed. Now, it didn't mean necessarily they were, like, happy, like, Pollyanna is happy, maybe, but they were happier than they were before.
Well, I know that if you're going through a rough time, that when someone says, oh, what are the possibilities right now for you, you just pretty much want to, you know, slap them across. Well, what do you mean, possibilities?
Yeah, well, I think that part of it, and this is what I've written in my new book, Adaptability, which just came out this month.
That sounds interesting.
The subtitle is How to Survive Change You Didn't Ask For.
Nice.
When I was researching it, what I discovered was, I came full circle back to gratitude. One of the key capacities of resilience, components of resilience, is being thankful. But the trick is, it's not about denying that the bad thing has happened. I think that that's part where people get messed up. So, you know, it's not about pretending that you aren't going through something hard, because you are. The question is, and what else? And what else? It's not a but experience. It's an and experience. And yes, that's true. It's awful, it's terrible, it's scary. And in this moment, what can you still enjoy and appreciate and value about your life or life itself that you are grateful for? It works like that. And that gives you then a little bit of uplift, enough energy to want to keep on going.
Well, that is one thing that it's like a stepping stone or a building block or a bridge to get from point A to point Z. I see that's what gratitude is to me.
Yes, and what it does to you physiologically, which brain science now teaches us, is that when we think grateful thoughts or hopeful or optimistic, any of what we think of as positive emotions, they're really positive thoughts that trigger the feel-good hormones in our brain that give us the positive feeling. Every time we do that, we strengthen our immune system. And that's why we live longer when we practice gratitude, by the way. And we feel better.
Yes.
Even a little bit better.
As I said, you know, earlier in the show, it's just a reminder, especially in these times.
Absolutely.
Now, when you say that the subtitle of your other book, How to Adapt to Change That You Didn't
Ask For,
how do you do something like that? This is
one of the key ways is that there's four characteristics of people who survive difficulties more easily than others. One is that they focus on a positive outcome. They say, it's maybe terrible now, but in the future is going to be better, so they have hope.
Okay.
They find meaning in what's happening to them. And this is the gratitude graduate school is what I call it, which is that it's not just they practice gratitude, that's the third, but this what the finding meaning is to say, okay, in the thing itself, what is the gift in it for me? Just yesterday, a client of mine who was going through something difficult said that she'd read somewhere that some gifts come wrapped in sandpaper.
Huh.
I loved that.
Yeah.
So many of us are going through things right now that feels exactly like sandpaper.
Well, what about death? I mean, how do you find
the
meaning?
Absolutely.
Really?
Well, it's interesting. The story that I know about that come most and really learned the spiritual meaning of gratitude from my father when he was dying. He was lying in a hospital bed. He was probably 2 weeks away from his death. He was dying of emphysema. Every single breath was a struggle.
Wow.
And he had these big, big, giant blue eyes, and he'd been 6'2", and he's now in like 110 pounds or something. And I looked at him, and out of my mouth blurted, "Dad, is your life still worth living?" And he looked at me, and he said, "I like to read the comics in the newspaper. I like to watch the ball game on TV. Sometimes it's easier to take a breath than others. My life is good."
Oh, wow. Wow. You know, that is, that's some of the advice that was given to us, but when my family went through the death of the matriarch of the family, the great grandmother, who's pretty much responsible for everyone, you know, in my husband's side of the family. And we called Daniel Brinkley, who's a friend of mine, who spent 28,000 hours at the hospice at the side of the bed, and he said, the best thing you can do while you're with her is to tell her all the ways her life was worth it. And to laugh and tell great positive stories. And you know what that did for us, MJ?
What?
It made us not have to have a funeral. Because we celebrated her life with her. She was still there. There's no reason. I mean, we had closure.
Oh, how beautiful.
It was incredible with all the family around.
Oh.
It was, and I didn't even know her as long as my, you know, my husband had known her all his life. And And it was just really awesome to have that type of gratitude ceremony.
Oh, how fabulous.
It was.
Fabulous. And one of the things that you said that he suggested, which is the fourth characteristic of people who do well with change they didn't ask for, is laughing.
Ah, I like that.
Finding things to laugh about. So those are the tricks to get through the hard times.
Well, I love your third one, pretend you have talent. I love that. Fake it till you make it, right?
That's right. That's always important because what that does in the brain is the brain doesn't differentiate between practicing it or faking it and actually doing it. So it's making a pathway to do it when you're faking it.
I actually like that because then you get sort of all those self-doubtful. I mean, I watch my 6-year-old sing and it's, it's priceless, but, it's, you know, she basically just thinks she has the most incredible voice and it sounds like the American Idol. You know, Gina was listening to her yesterday. What was she singing? Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot? It's just great. But it's, you know, it's that honest, that beautiful innocence that gives her her freedom to be able to, and it's great. So. All right. So and the other things that you mentioned are celebrating success, even the small ones, right?
That's right. And that, again, is that we're being grateful for what we're producing in our lives in terms of successes. Then we have, again, energy and enthusiasm to keep on going. So we, you know, it gives us the hope and reminds us that we are making forward motion, because sometimes things are so hard that you just think, oh, I'm not getting anywhere. But if instead you go, wait, I did do this, I managed to save $100 this month, whatever it is, then that gives you the energy to keep at it.
Well, and I also noticed that it's one of the things is looking at, you know, sometimes I just kind of throw my hands up and go, you know, how am I going to make this work? And those are the times where the greatest guidance comes in.
Absolutely. So that you make room to have help come from somewhere else, from spirit or, yes, absolutely.
I was laughing this morning because I was thinking, when you pray for something, does that mean that you, like that's the last card? Or are you really just giving yourself or surrendering from the control and allowing the positive energy to come in from the universe and stepping out of the way?
Absolutely.
While still working really hard.
I think it's both. I think that's exactly what you just described is exactly what I think it is. It's that we have, you know, we have dynamic energy, which is the energy of pushing and action and making it happen. We have receptive energy, which is the energy of opening ourselves up to what's available to come in. And then we have magnetic energy, which is what The Secret was talking about. And that is the ability to say, this is what I really want, and draw it to you. And we need the capacity to use our energy in all of those three ways, not just one. And so prayer really is receptive energy, is saying, help!
Yes.
I don't know what to do, so help me, come through me and help me.
It
doesn't mean we also don't need to be taking dynamic action. If we just sit around the couch saying, oh, help, I'd really like to help getting a job, it might not happen. We might need to get up off our butts and do something.
Right. And, I mean, this conversation could spread all the way from the financial crisis that's going on to health, to serious health issues. You know, you have to do what you need to do to get yourself well or to get yourself out of a financial situation. But sometimes it just takes stepping aside and receiving it. But okay, now let me ask you this. If you're facing a foreclosure and you're looking at, you know, how, you know, your thousands of dollars of debt and not being able to pay, and no, I mean, if somebody dropped $500,000 in your lap, it wouldn't be a solution. I mean, you know, I'm talking about severe financial issues that are going on now. What, I mean, how do you get from that point A to point Z?
Well, I think that again, if we circle back around to, you know, there's practical things you need to do, and you certainly need help in thinking through what those practical things are. But I also think that any kind of change like this is a chance to say, when you ask the question, what if anything could be right about this? If anything could be a gift in this to me, what could it be? And I do know people who, not in the moment they're going through it, but it's usually you uncover the sandpaper from the gift later. And you later go, wow, it really allowed me to simplify my life, to see what matters, to understand what the really important things are, to realign my values, to get closer to my family. I know someone who had a breakup and she had no money and she wasn't married to the guy, and she lost her income and her house, and she ended up reconciling with her family in the Philippines, who she'd been estranged with for 10 years because she had literally nowhere else to go. And so there is something in whatever the challenges we're facing that is a gift to us, and doesn't make the pain of it any easier, except to that you understand that something is occurring inside of you that will be useful later.
At least you grow from it.
You grow and develop, whether it's hearts of mind or spirit or body. You know, it's like, I remember when I was dumped, when I was 39, it was an absolutely agonizing, unexpected, unasked for experience.
Wow.
And yet, I always thought I couldn't take care of myself. And financially and emotionally, I thought I would die without this guy.
Wow.
So I was always afraid of him dying. I never thought he was going to leave me, because he was always saying, I'll never leave you, darling. But he did me a favor, but I didn't experience it at the time as a favor. But later, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me, because first, I learned to stand up on my own two feet. I learned I could make a living for myself. I found another wonderful guy. I adopted a baby, and I have a whole other life.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Charge.
And I'm not so stuck on the fact of, you know, of course I don't want anything to happen to my husband. But if something did, I know now I can take care of myself.
Wow. Yeah, you sound like that was not an issue for you.
Not anymore.
I like how you say, what do you suggest? Well, what do you suggest to other people when they're in a tough situation, and then turn around and use that advice on yourself? That's great.
Well, we always are giving advice to other people. So when we think we're stuck, I don't know what to do. When I work with people, what I do for a living is, besides write, is I am a thinking partner to individuals and executives around the world. And so
that's interesting.
Yeah. And so when they're stuck, they say, I don't know what to do. I say, well, what would you tell your daughter to do? Or what would you tell your employee to do? They always know. They say, bada, bada, bada. And then I say, okay, so are you willing to take your own advice? There's always dead silence on the phone.
Well, that's interesting. No, they're not. I also like your idea of spending time with happy people.
Ah, well, this actually is one of the qualities of people who are grateful, too, is that feelings are contagious. They've been discovered, and there's been many studies, and a very large recent one about 6 months ago, it was pretty widely publicized, which is that the emotional systems of human beings are what's called open loop, meaning they don't self-regulate. It's not like your temperature that stays the same whether you're inside the freezer or sitting in a hot day. Your internal temperature stays the same unless you're sick, right?
Uh-huh.
However, emotions we catch from other people, and we think the mechanism by which they think they do this is called mirror neurons, which are these brain cells that have just recently discovered in the last 5 years that literally allow us to feel the feelings of other people.
Hmm.
And they're the basis of empathy. And so what happens is that whoever we're around, we're catching their feelings. So if we're around people who are down all the time, we'll tend to go down.
I thought that was just me.
No. It's because we have these brain cells that are trying, and our emotional systems are trying to match whatever we're around. And of course, we're also having that effect on other people. So people who are more upbeat and optimistic and thankful attract to other people, because then it makes it, because we bring them up.
That's just basically the scientific validation of psychic awareness.
Exactly.
And empathy, right?
Exactly. It's what they're believing, and there's all kinds of really interesting research being done on mirror neurons right now, because people basically, they just found them. They don't understand how they work. Do they work for the ethers? They have no idea.
That's bizarre. Okay. I also like in the back of your Attitudes of Gratitude book is there's top 12 ways to bring more gratefulness into your life. And some of them are really great. Just create visual reminders or pop-up reminders that come up on your cell phone or your computer, which is great, of being grateful.
I think they're so important when we're trying to learn anything new. Anything. We have to have reminders from the outside in the beginning, because otherwise our brains are set up to do what they've already done. So if you've never practiced before, or you just do it occasionally and you want to make it a regular habit, you have to have a reminder until it becomes automatic.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yep, and then it becomes automatic. I have a reminder on my phone every Monday that says, are you playing full out?
Oh, right. See? And it helps you keep the focus on that, because otherwise you might forget, right?
Yeah, and now it's just kind of subconscious.
Yes.
Am I playing full out? It's just always there in my mind. I like the idea of giving gratitude for the people who are close to you in your life, like your spouse, your kids, and friends, even though sometimes life gets in the way or it gets frustrating and stuff like that, to always be grateful for them, which is something we take for granted, I think.
Well, it's funny. I was giving a talk. I talk a lot on gratitude because it's, you know, it's a hot topic these days.
Yeah.
And it's out of my mouth the last time, I don't know, I was standing up and talking in front of 200 people came. This is called just-in-time gratitude, and I use it to improve relationships, and it only takes one person. You know, now I'm saying that you have to work on a relationship, it takes two of you. No, it doesn't. It only takes just-in-time gratitude. Here's how it works. My husband does something that's really annoying, right? And I want to be short-tempered or snippy or ignore him or get in a fight or respond in some other way. Inside, I'm thinking, you know, why the hell did I marry such an idiot, right? Something like that is going on inside of my head. As soon as I recognize that, I go, stop, stop, stop. Think of three things that you really appreciate about this guy.
Great idea.
And then instantly I feel better and I'm in love with him again. And he doesn't even know that I was on the brink of walking out the door.
And that's why you call it just in time.
Exactly, because you do it when you need it.
That's funny. Now, that is actually a great technique. Well, you got a lot more in the book, and I want to thank you very much for joining me. Good information. And also, something we constantly need is to be reminded of giving gratitude. And it might be a part of your practice of your daily life. If for some reason you forgot, this is a great way to remember it. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. You take care. Bye-bye. And thank you very much for listening today. And while I'm always committed to bringing you the clearest information possible, in the end, I always encourage you to listen to your own truth. And thanks, Engineer G here, Tanya Jenkins, Gina Salvati, and especially you guys for listening. Until tomorrow, I invite you to stay aware.